Hello, everyone. This is Glinda, and I am so glad to be here today. This is a beautiful day where I am, and I hope it is where you are as well. Or if not, by the weather, at least in your heart. And we come together to join in our heart where we are united with Yeshua and our divine celestial brother. We come together to enjoy each other's company, to support one another in our needs, and celebrate in our joys. We are very happy, as usual, to have our lovely Nancy with us. She's going to be monitoring the board. And I'm going to start with a congratulations for Nancy and Gary. They just added a member to their grand family this last week. Lovely little Arthur. And I can't think of anyone more proud. He's beautiful. Even though a month premature, he's doing very, very well. And we include him in our celebration, our joy, and our blessings today. For a wonderful and successful life. Okay, Nancy, I can hear by your giggle if you're on the board now.
We're here. Yeah, we're grinning ear to ear, and you said it exactly right. He's doing really great, and he's probably going to be discharged as early as tomorrow. So that's pretty exciting. Everything's moving along for him with the lungs. And So we're happy, and it's getting cooler here. Like, I think yesterday we had like high 70s, low 80s. It was so nice. And we're getting a little rain. It's just like everything is shifting, it seems, you know?
Oh, it is. It is. Summer may not be totally over, but the heat wave is definitely over. We defeated that with our 4 days of rain. And moving into the equinox, which I do want to mention as a time to attune our energies to. You know, we don't worship the cycles of the earth, the way ancient man did, because his parameters of the cosmos were so very, very limited and speculative. But they could feel these beautiful changes. And there's something so special about the equinox, which, was celebrated back as far as recorded or even artistically expressed history goes. People could feel the balance the earth was in. And it's such a wonderful time to attune your life to that balance, because I would say that even for people whose lives have been pretty well blessed, this last year has been an extremely imbalanced year because of various catastrophes in the world, traumas, and conflicts, and general uncertainties about what tomorrow would bring. Well, I'd like to just offer this thought that tomorrow brings a continuity of today, because today is really all we ever have. And I have noticed that when I pray from today in gratitude, potentiality, and expectation, I get a much more stable continuity into the next span of time. And that doesn't mean we don't have to make some adjustments as events unfold. But we need to really understand that those are only events unfolding. The only time we as a soul ever have is eternal time, which is perceived in the space of now. And we as souls don't go through time. Only events go through time. And we manage those events better by remaining stable in our relationship to God, our relationship to the larger creation of existence, and our relationship to the other souls we are united with, who love us, we love. And then times like this, in the spring and the fall, give us opportunities to see the earth in a similar state of balance as we are as a soul. And it becomes an unusually special time for union and communion. I think this is why we gain so much joy from the spring and the fall. We tend to associate that with fair weather, mild temperatures, but it's not always that way. Sometimes the weather doesn't reflect the balance of the equinox, because that's a cosmic alignment. But we can certainly experience, because we are quantum beings. And so I just want to express gratitude that we got brought safely through all of the imbalance of summer, the stress, the uncertainty, the catastrophes, and the conflicts of summer. And we're here now. We can hold this space and extend it all the way through the autumn and hopefully right into the Christmas season. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I think that. Well, I'm certainly going to hold that thought for all of us. And Nancy, how about you taking over the board?
Absolutely. Let's get started, folks. So thank you, Glenda, for bringing us all together. We're so happy that you're here with us every week. We are blessed beyond measure. And we have Stephen to start us off today.
Oh, hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be on this call. Wow. So anyway, I just wanted to make a comment, just following up on last week, what Kathy had mentioned about her meditations, Sacred Heart meditations. And I could really relate, because I'm educated as an engineer, and so I've got that sort of real analytical engineering mind. And so over the years, I've sometimes found it challenging to really sink in. And I just wanted to offer a couple of suggestions that have really helped me. One is actually just fasting. I found that either juice fasting or water fasting or even dry fasting over the years has really helped me just relax my mind, get more in the present moment, get more in a peaceful state. So I just wanted to offer that. And then also I'm reading an amazing book right now. I would say it's the best book I've ever read on the subject of Sacred Heart meditations, especially in its references to the Bible. It's really calling out all these amazing scriptural references and giving them amazing, I would say, deeper interpretations than the typical interpretations, which I found really helpful in my personal journey. So that book is called The Mystic Way of Radiant Love, Alchemy for a New Creation by John Francis. And it's just a thin little paperback, but one of those kind of hidden gems, you know, that every now and then you come across. But anyway, I just wanted to offer that. I know I myself have had, you know, amazing experiences where, you know, I've asked Yeshua to help me, and he has helped me get deeper into my Sacred Heart at times through just grace, really just mystical graceful experiences. And then there are times where it seems like I'm just so far away from my Sacred Heart, it's very depressing and sad. So anyway, I thought I'd offer those.
It's
those,
always
little
you and
suggestions. You're right. Yeah, and it,
you know,
anyway. So
I,
what
I
were
will.
You saying? Yeah.
Go ahead. You obviously. Weren't
oh kidding. No, I don't have anything else, Glenda. Thanks.
Well, I we can start a conversation, because I wanted to add that this is, I think, one of the most important reasons to celebrate the Sabbath, whether you choose Saturday, Sunday, or if your life is set up so that even another day works better for you. It's so important to have a Sabbath, because that is, and it was supposed to be, or prescribed by God to be, a day of complete rest, where you don't just have a lazy day, but you're managing your business remotely. No, it is a day of complete detachment from engagement with worldly issues, worldly affairs, worldly challenges, and even to the degree that, if possible, you include and extend the Sabbath to those you love and those who are closest to you, even the people who work for you. If that's not possible, do your best. But fasting was also a very important part of the Sabbath in Hebrew times. And I don't know if it's still practiced that way, but it certainly was historically practiced that way. And one of the things that I perceive about it being universally important about our connection to the Sacred Heart is the description that Yeshua, the beautiful description he gives of it, being the place that is silent and still. And it is so silent and still, it's like walking out on brand new pristine snow the day after it was laid upon the earth. Not even a footprint on it. It's silent. The wind has stopped. The sun is radiating from it. There's not even a bird chirping because the birds are all in their nest. And it's just dawning a brand new day. And it's that kind of reverent silence that is in the heart. Now, in another part of our conversation, he told me that you can't bring your troubles into it. And you can't bring any part of your worldly self into it. And you can't bring any part of conflict into it, or anything that is false into it. Because it has to be observed as this pristine, brand new blanket of snow that doesn't even have a bird track upon it. Okay, the frustration now with that is that so often we forget to celebrate the Sacred Heart at moments that are appropriate to it. But we get in trouble and we try to rush there. That's when we want to go, I gotta get in my Sacred Heart. I gotta go there. Oh my gosh, I gotta go there. Well, in your spiritual body, you can find a connection, but you are definitely not going to connect through this entrance in your back. It's not going to be open to any troubled energy whatsoever. For the very simple reason, that's the place you entered at the beginning of your life. That's the place you will exit at the end of your life, and the angels guard that door shut. Now, you can enter it in one of these pristine moments. Yes, you can. And it's a sublime experience that is beyond what words can even describe. And it offers a special opportunity for you when you can do this, and you do it. I just want to tell you, it's not a mechanical thing. And the mechanics are not what brings you there. It's the pristineness that brings you there, that opens that door. You can't even find the door if it's not open. And until you come to it with a pristine spirit, that door won't open. So, there have been times when I wish I had not shared that part of it, of his message, because it's caused frustration for so many people. But at the same time, why withhold the most beautiful part of his message? Because it just requires a little bit of supportive explanation. You can drop into your heart. You can fall into your heart by quietening your mind and moving into a zero point in your meditation, or the most quiet quantum state of prayer, and you drop into your heart. That's like the feather that drops into a quiet, onto and lands on a quiet pool. You can do that. And you can do, you can transition from a troubled state into a sublime state through prayer and meditation. That you can do. And then you drop into the heart. But you cannot go through that back entrance unless you're already in a pristine state. Okay. And I hope that clears something a little bit for somebody, because don't try to go there when you're troubled. What you do when you're troubled is you go into prayer. Or if you can, go into meditation. Or whatever takes you to that zero point where you really become in quantum space, even though you're on Earth walking in quantitative space. This was the very analogy that Yeshua made when he said, I am walking on the Earth, but I am not of the Earth. Meaning, he was in quantum space, but he was walking on the Earth. You can go there. And when you're there, then you can drop your consciousness into the Sacred Heart. I hope that helped.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Glenda. Yeah, and I just, yeah, that's all I, that was perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I know you have had your moments of being there. I didn't really say that entirely for you, but because you were addressing the audience, I wanted to join in and add a clarification about his messages in the book, because they do include several ways that you can partake and receive blessings in the Sacred Heart and walk within the Sacred Heart. There just are different qualifications for different occasions. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. I find for myself that there are times where I can easily just consciously make a move into like the center area of my being, you know, my soul, my Sacred Heart area, and I can immediately feel like I consciously make that internal movement, and I immediately feel a shift in my attitude, my emotions, my ability to connect with other people on a very, you know, and in a very innocent fashion. And that's a different experience than, say, like you were saying, like where those special sublime moments where, you know, all of a sudden you're in this state of sort of purity on all levels, and you just find yourself all of a sudden in your heart in this, you know, sacred, you know, quiet space. That, yeah, it's you're
mind,
in the vault.
I call it in the vault. Okay.
Yeah, you're in that chamber, and it's like all time stops, right? It's all of a sudden that you're in between. Uh-huh. You're in that, like you said, that quantum space, and it's like your whole reference of existence is altered and shifted. So yeah.
Yes. Oh, and I have a message for Nancy. The first time, now your little new grandson is still in quantum space. He's still there. Now, you hold him the first time, and you're going to feel exactly the presence of a being in the vault. He's not even in the world yet, and you're going to feel it. So enjoy that moment.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny, this morning, very synchronous, Stephen, and this whole subject, Gary selected magnetic energy and zero point from Keys of Yeshua. So there's a whole section in there, everybody, that talks about zero point and this invisible space. And it was really, it's really germane to this conversation. So folks may want to dig into that a little bit today, because that was really a blessing this morning. So,
yeah. Exactly. Okay. That's wonderful, Nancy. You know, and this is what we cover also in the Blessing Giver training seminar, where our Blessing Givers learn how to transition from quantum space into from quantifiable space into quantum space, which is where the blessing actually occurs. There are different motions we go through that acknowledge the gift of Christ. And it much like a priest at the altar goes through different motions to acknowledge the gift of God and welcome further gifts and blessings, and then moves into this sacred place where his back is facing the audience, and he then is facing the altar where he pours the wine and makes the bread available. And that is where the body of Christ, according to sacred practice, mystical phenomena, moves into the bread and wine. It's very, very similar to that. The priest has moved into quantum space after, first of all, offering blessings to the congregation, gratitude to God, expectations of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then he turns to face the altar, and the mystical happens. It's very, very similar to that. We as blessing givers, we offer in conveying the blessings, we offer the gratitude. We invite the blessings on behalf of everyone and make ourselves ready to release all attachments to quantifiable or material space so that we can slip into that place where we can hold the blessing for everyone. And how do we reach everyone? Well, very simple. First of all, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, yeah. In quantum space, there is no limitation of time and space. We're with all of you. And we are with your need for blessings through the Holy Spirit and through our presence in the quantum space to hold and convey that. So that works along with this very mystical topic that you brought up, Stephen. It's something that is very needed in the world, but it doesn't come from the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's really a grace from God. So thank you. Yeah, thank you for that further explanation, Glenda. And Nancy, thank you for that reference too. And Kizi Yeshua, thank you so much.
And thank you for the book by John Francis, The Mystic Way of Radiant Love. I'm sure folks will check into that. So thank you.
Thanks for repeating that, Nancy. Yeah. Did you get that, everyone?
No, you're welcome.
Okay. We have, hello, I believe it's Stormy.
Yes. Well, this is good conversation, for what I wanted to speak about today. The blessing that in high school, I received the vision of the living first light on my wall in my bedroom in high school, and I walked through it. The living version of First Life appeared on my bedroom wall, and I've said this before, but I didn't get out of my body. My physical body got out of bed, and I walked through it and got all this information about you and other things, and I just wanted to bring up that energy of the fact that I've experienced walking through the living first light, and how
that's the portal. That's the portal between the two segments of the universe, Stormy. That's the portal.
And it's just it's such an honor that God has used me in such a way to experience and also to facilitate such things. When Jesus put his hand on your heart and says, Glenda, love is not what you do. Love is who you are. And when I have done this for people many times over, the experience they have is what you're talking about, Glenda. They truly see the love that they were before they were born. And then they say, wow, And I say, now you have the rest of your life to understand and experience that.
And right.
What a gift that I have been able and that we all can do for each other. It's just this energy that we're talking about today is so pertinent to what I want to say about the living first light. You drew a still version of it. That's all you can do on a painting. But what you experienced was the living version.
Well, that
first
came
light.
To me as that. That's how the his presence came to me on November 23rd. So that's what I was trying to paint, because you can't paint what I saw and what you walked through.
No, you cannot. You can only experience it.
That's right. I tried to paint it. I tried and tried and tried.
I drew pretty much the same thing in high school. My version of it. I drew a bunch of silver and golden squares, sort of like what you did. But it just goes to show how God uses us all in unique ways, each of us individually, so beautifully. And all of us are, in the song, Stormy's Music, I say, this is so beautiful. You are from this light, love and joy. You radiate so brightly that this light has taken form. That's who we are and who we try to remember and get back to and where we're going back to. So it's all beautiful. It's all good. The fact that I already get to know what's going to happen, Glenda, I'm quite happy a lot of the time, even with all the trials. And I just heard about how many thousands of people died in a flood somewhere in the world. And I thought, well, yeah, that's there. And I'm there with them, but I know what's going to be. I see what's going to be in the future. But I am very much in the present, to be with those who have died. Oh, there were several, like 5,000 people or something that died in some flood somewhere.
Where was it?
Oh,
it was stormy.
I don't remember, somewhere in the world, that was just, I just saw a little bit, that was just something, quite terrible. And I put an emphasis on my music so long ago that when people die in such a unfavorable situation that they don't quite know where to go, and if they can't find the lights, they can hear my music, and my music will guide you in the in-between realm to your lights. Then you can finish making your journey. That's the premise of Stormy's Music. If the world gets to hear it sometime, but it's there for eternity.
Mm-hmm. I would like to add something to that, Stormy, if you're finished. Okay? I just watched to the most beautiful and really deeply intelligent presentation on YouTube called God Sang the Universe into Existence. And I know it's something you would love, Stormy, but actually it will be an awareness opener for everyone. And I was thinking, as you were talking, I'll send out an email with a link to that presentation so other people can watch it. It's really beautiful. It is performed and presented by a Christian theologian. And so it's very, very in keeping with biblical creation and Christian thoughts and Christ consciousness, but it's all about the energetic components of creation, the song that it was, and how the great song is continuing. And I just, it's a blow away. It really, really is. So I'm going to send this out in honor of you, Stormy, because I know that you try so hard to get this across, and it's really a fantastic presentation on that idea.
Oh, what a blessing. A blessing for us all.
Thank you, Stormy.
Well, we've got to move on, Stormy, because you and I
Let's go into the light.
And the folks that died, Glenda, that was in Libya, but I'm going to move on to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Yes, that country was Libya, where the people died this week. I've been praying all week. There were thousands. It was a massive flood that was all over the news. So God bless those people who lost their lives in that. Glenda, I'm just sitting in Central Park reading The Way to a Greater Life, and it's blowing my socks off to me. It's wonderful. I just wanted to thank you for this. I started to read it when I first got it and then put it down, and then I wanted a book and my hand went straight to it, and I've been reading it for the last couple of nights, and there's so much to digest that you can't read it quickly. You have to, because it's so profound and in-depth that you have to reread it over to get it into your little mind, you know, the mind. But I just wanted to thank you for it, because it's wonderful, and I think it's a book I can give to my sister to help her know who you are and what I do, you know, with the blessing call and everything on Sundays. So it's profound, and
it's a sleeper. It's just been sitting on the shelf waiting for people to discover it. It's a very, very, very strong book. And it summarizes the entirety of the experience that was presented for me to live through. And one of the great things about it, which you commented on about sharing, is that it's so rooted in Christian history. And so people who are also rooted in Christian history may wonder if she off on some kind of weird trip that's all her own and it has nothing to do with, well, maybe he did visit her, but am I supposed to read this? You know, when they read that, they will know that what I am part of is the mystical side of Christianity, which has always been there. It's been there since the Lord was born. He was the birth of mystical Christianity. But he had to conform it. He had to conform the faith and the brilliance he brought to the earth, first of all, to Jewish history, because he was given the covenant by God to connect the history of Jewish people with what will come next on this earth, because they were not to be left behind. They are the ones who conveyed his word, his faith, and his teaching for thousands of years, and they were not to be left behind. They were to be the foundation. And so he conformed his teaching to Jewish theology. And then later on, as Christianity spread into the Roman world, well, Rome needed to be rescued. And in order to take advantage of Roman influence to spread the word, it conformed to the needs of the Roman world to be not that it in any way compromised the truth of Christ, but the presentations to the world could accommodate the collective social reality, let's put it that way. And then it has continued to adapt through the ages as we grow in our humanity, in our compassion, in our devotion to God and to Christ. Then our basis for conforming to one another continues to adapt is teaching to that. But running parallel to all of this were the mystics that never conformed anything. That would include St. Francis. It would include most of the Benedictines. It would include, you know, so many of the saints that we love and respect and draw inspiration from, and their lives are retold in that book, and their place in the mystic forwarding of his message and his truth that has nothing to do with social conformity. It just has to do with a pure open-faced truth. And so he was adding a new chapter to that book when he came to me, and that's all it was. But
right.
By revealing that, people feel a little more comfortable with Love Without End and what it is and its place in the world. It's not going to replace or usurp in any way all of the established, more conformed presentations of Christianity. And I've really joined with the people who say there's no place better to raise your kids than in the protective family of a church, whether it's Methodist, Baptist, or Roman Catholic, or Episcopal, or Jewish, or whatever your faith may be. This congregation of people joined in faith are the perfect environment to raise your kids, because that's where they'll find other kids that they can feel comfortable with in their faith and their reality. And then at a certain point in life, your little girl or your little boy may pick up a book about St. Francis and then begin to discover, wow, he thought a little differently, didn't he? He was kind of out there. I sort of liked it. And then you may pick up a book about the mystic life of the apostles and say, wow, there was more to this. And that's okay. That's okay, because all of these environments of Christianity are important. They're all important. And one is not to exclude the other. We just offer a little more of the same grand blessing that God has given to us.
Yes.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you for that. And I hope everyone reads it, because it's just really opening me up and up to more love. And it's just, as I said, I've got to go back and read it again because there's just too much in there. But thank you. And, Glenda, I'd just like to ask a quick blessing for my next door neighbors, Amy and Andrew. Amy quit her job because she was very unhappy and she's looking for a new one. And I'm just telling her today, you know, that which you are seeking is also seeking you. And I'd ask a blessing that the right job, because she wants to work with the environment. She's coming out of love. She doesn't care about the money she gets. She wants to do something heart-based to help the planet. So I just ask Yeshua that the right job for Amy comes to her in the perfect timing. And for her husband, Andrew, who was a data processor who's now opening a coffee shop around the corner. And he's full of love all the time, wonderful man. And today he expressed just, my dream's almost coming true. And he's a little nervous. You know how we get, we pray for something and it comes and then we get scared. I just ask a prayer for Andrew that everything just goes perfectly well. Oh, so those two little blessings.
Oh, thank you. That's like getting a new baby. Well, but am I up to being a dad?
Yes, that sort of thing, yes. And he's worked so hard for this that he really deserves it. And I know it's going to work, but I just ask for just extra help for those two people. They adopted me. They're my next door neighbors, and they're just so full of love. So thank you for the blessings for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Elizabeth. We love you. And we send our heartfelt blessings to you
and
all that you seek.
Thank you, Glenda.
Absolutely. Thank you, Elizabeth. And everybody get a copy of that book. She's right. It's wonderful. It's actually, I read a description once, Elizabeth, that said it was a masterpiece of mysticism without the trappings of religious dogma. So you can give it to a lot of your friends and they'll love it.
Absolutely. So yes, that's a good description.
Let's see. We have an area code I don't know. So welcome. Your line is open if you can hear us.
Is it me?
Denise?
Hello?
Hello? We hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can.
Okay, yeah. I was not sure it was me. Yeah, I'm from Switzerland. My name is Thierry. I joined you a few years ago. I don't know how many years.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask for a blessing for my sister. I had a little troubles in the last years with her, and there was lots of double bind, and it was strange. I thought she would need help, but she refused any, and it was a little strange and difficult to do something when you can't do anything and just wait. So I just wanted to ask a blessing that she comes out of her troubles or whatever difficulties she has and that she is not sharing.
Would you like to give us her name?
Ina.
Ina.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will hold her in our prayers.
Thank you.
And send the blessings of Christ to her.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else, Terry?
We're glad to have you back. Okay.
No, that was the pressing thing, actually. That was the thing I wanted to share. And
yes,
we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you for letting me join.
Yes. Thank you for asking on her behalf. Thank you, Terry. We're glad you're with us today. Okay, Glenda, we have our next caller is Sarah. Hi, Sarah. We're so glad you're here today.
Aloha, Nancy and Glenda and our beloved community. I am walking my bare feet on the earth in this beautiful forest, and I just want to testify of just, I feel so blessed and so just miraculous level blessings every day. So God, gratitude. Thank you so much for our community. I'm making notes of all of these books and I appreciate them so much. I would add a book called The Untethered Soul by Michael Sanger that I'm on my third read and getting so much. And I wanted to just add to what beloved Kathy asked. I feel like for me, one thing is really getting on this earth, like feet on the earth helps open my heart. And I'm also in this practice of just noticing my heart, noticing when it is closing. And I made this commitment to myself and to Yeshua that unless there's something life or death right now, like someone needs help, life or death, that is actually the most important thing for me to do at all times. Is to notice my heart and notice if it's closing and just seek to consciously open it. So I've really been practicing that. And I wanted to ask maybe next time Stormy comes on, if he could tell us a way, could we hear his music? Is there a way on the internet? So Stormy, maybe next time, please let us know that. Let me know that. And then I just want to ask for a blessing for myself and my brothers and sisters who can relate to this, where just calling in more help for my work, for my teaching and my work. I work almost like the equivalent of two full-time jobs, and it's too much, and I have to admit I don't keep a day of Sabbath where I just rest and focus on God. And I know that's like arrogant to say, if God can take that day, like how can I not? But I just can't yet. But so I ask for that to come with
because receiving more support for my work, more hands to come in and do the work. And that's my prayer for myself that I ask of Yeshua and for my brothers and sisters.
Okay. We can sure join you in all the things you ask. And I'm so glad to hear how high you're flying, you know, that you really are spending so much of your time in a state of joy. That's wonderful to hear. And actually, that brings blessings to everyone around you. It really does.
Yes.
The blessed gives blessings.
Yes. Thank you so much. Right. This community has helped in that so many ways. And yes, joy for us all, unconditional joy of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We love you, Sarah.
I love you too.
Have a great Sunday. And you're having a Sabbath right now, just being together. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Maybe it's not 24 hours, but it's hard to do that.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, Glenda, we have Susan. Your line is open.
Oh, good. I want to remember what I wanted to say. First of all, hello, Nancy. Hello, Glenda. Hello, community. Thank you for everybody who shared before me. And I want to say last week I was on the call, but I wasn't feeling well. I was, coming down with a cold, and I had taken something for it. And I wound up falling asleep during a good part of what was being shared. But I got up when we were ready to do the meditation. And afterward, I was really suffering. And it was though it was removed. I mean, by the end of our prayer and, the meditation part, whatever I was suffering with when I got on the call was kind of lifted. So I said, oh, I must remember to tell everybody. And I didn't plan to fall asleep, but that's kind of... So I realized that I was absorbing plenty, and I was meant to kind of fall asleep during that. But... I knew that, and I was grateful because I couldn't get over how healed I felt when we finished the whole thing, because I got up in time for, the prayer stuff, and I said, wow, I feel so different. It was very interesting. If you must remember to get on the call and tell them that, which I will say that. I want to also say, ask a, blessing for my son and daughter-in-law who's going through a tough time. Try Matthew and Alyssa. And it's very interesting. I usually share so openly with almost everybody about me. I was listening at the diner to some girls who were talking up my language, and I wound up saying, do you mind if I, join in and share something, blah, blah. But when it comes to this situation with my son, I had this very strong feeling to tell very few people. And I said, gee, that doesn't seem like me. But I heard intuitively what happens is people, meaning well, will give you all kinds of scenarios and stories and advice you don't need. Do not do this. I said, do it with clear as a bell. Do not do this. You don't know the outcome. You are called to do what you can, and then the rest you give to God, and you pray that God take it to the best possible outcome with all considerations, and leave it at that, and tell very, very, very few people. And
you're absolutely
so that's exactly. I would share with you, and I would share with the community, but very few people. I know this whole thing is going to work out miraculously, and not surprising, because my son was telling me things. I said, wow, this is the highest. I want to wish everybody a happy new year. Whoever celebrates the Jewish New Year like I do, I wish everybody a happy New Year. It's a very solemn time of year for me, not just because I'm Jewish, but because I'm sensitive. Because I don't practice, I'm unconventional. I'm a mystic Jewish. I'm 12-stepper who, a lot of 12-steppers don't go into the mystical. I do. I have. Experience led me there. And not to say, as you said, Glenda, that, you know, that the traditional church and all the holidays and all the rituals and everything have its place, you know, for children and adults growing up. But it's okay to take that step and expand it, which is, you know,
exactly
what I've done and continue to do. So, yeah, it's very interesting. I know this whole thing with him is going to turn out it's going to turn out miraculously. And I've worked as I do. With son.
Yes.
And somewhat with my daughter-in-law. A good amount with her, too. But a lot non-physically. And, I know it's gonna work out for the very, very best. And, oh, better than I could imagine. Because that's what I'm seeing. And I turn to God and I'm going, just incredible.
Oh, we can't even think about. Really.
Incredible.
Just to confirm what you said, Susan, I would like to say how important it is that you recognize the sacredness of the relationship you have with your son. And in general, this is a really good principle to follow. Whenever you have an intimate relationship, whether it's with your children, your spouse, your siblings, your parents, or a best friend, or a pastor, a rabbi, someone you have shared heart-centered energy with, you do not take that out to the streets. You just simply do not. It is sacred. Anything that is intimate means it's connected to your heart. And you have a union with that person or persons, plural, that is in your heart. And you don't take that out to the street. You simply do not. It's very much the parable that Yeshua taught of you don't take sacred words and give them to the pigs while they will trample
right
them and come and trample you. So you're doing exactly you're that is an act of integrity. Let's just put it that way. And I think that we could all save ourselves a lot of grief by just honoring that act of integrity with every aspect of our life that is sacred. And sometimes we take our sacred moments, our most sacred thoughts and beliefs out to the street, and it doesn't work because people will then say, well, that's weird. Why are you doing that? Why do you believe that? Don't do that. You have taken, and Yeshua cautioned the apostles against doing that. You have to be mindful and self-respectful and God-respecting about how you handle anything that is sacred to you. The sacred is the sacred. And there are ways and times that will be provided for you to share. And you look for those ways when you can share. Windows and doors will be open for you to speak. Just like we all have a self-protective membrane, you might say, against receiving what might be inappropriate. We also are protected against revealing or sharing what might be inappropriate. So respect both directions of communication.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I do. And when I think about entering my heart center, I think about, and I said this to my kids because my husband always left shoes. He wouldn't wear them in the house. You know, they would always be left out. And all my children, I sometimes don't do that because of, you know, hurts the band or whatever, so I take it out, whatever. But they are very adamant about it. And I will use the analogy to get into my heart center. I've got to leave my shoes outside the door. you know.
Exactly.
All, you know, it has to be outside. I cannot enter if, you know, with the shoes. They have to stay outside.
That's what Jesus said. He said you can't bring the baggage in.
Right. So,
okay,
yeah,
dear.
But,
well, I'm so happy to hear about your miracle, and your understanding and your faith, your hope, and your integrity. It's all very, very important. And Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. And I wish that to everybody, you know, just like that, just the same as I have no problem loving when people say, please feel comfortable saying Merry Christmas. It's good. It's good.
Well,
so,
yeah, of course.
You know, don't leave me out of that.
I have found the most delightful and enlightened rabbi that I've been listening to on YouTube. And I just love, listening to him, well, partly because of the enlightenment and, because he's speaking a lot of language that Yeshua would have been born into. And it builds a connection with Yeshua that's very special. But also, I think it's really important for, us as Christians to better understand the foundation on which we stand, because
which you spoke about earlier. You mentioned all of that earlier.
Exactly. And I might send a link. I might even send a link on that in my email, because God is God. There's no such thing as a Jewish God and a Christian God. God is God. And we have our pathways of understanding and our pathways of connecting to other people who understand truth in similar ways. And we honor this. And, well, I just really been enjoying this rabbi. He's just absolutely delightful. And you may already know about him. So, what's the email? I think you'd like it.
Good, good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the one that you're going to send, you know,
God is the universe into creation. You will love that. It's always delightful. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Well, my dear,
great.
It's
you.
Nice to hear from you. And your health sounds good. You sound strong.
I do. I feel a little, just put a little something. I've been having trouble with my right knee, and I don't want a new knee. So, you know, it seems to like come and go. You know, it's weird. Sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not, but a little healing from my right knee would be great.
Okay.
Thanks.
We
thank
gotcha.
You all, everybody. Thank you. I love you. Really love you. So deeply.
Love me too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Jason.
Thank you all. Take care.
Take care. We have Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Nance. Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Happy Sunday. Happy Sabbath.
Thank you, honey. Thank you so much. And I'll be so quick. I just love you all. Thank you for these really beautiful and poignant conversations. And I just really, all I want to say is I feel like I'm in a state of just almost perpetual awe and wonder over the blessings I continually receive. You know, there are things I could ask for from my heart, but my thank yous far outweigh my pleas at this moment, and in so many moments lately, I'm overwhelmed by gratitude, and I really feel God's providence and being held in the palm of God's hand. And I know there are so many going through so much in this world, and so I just extend my love and my gratitude for the blessings that will come everyone's way. And in light of Rosh Hashanah, I learned a beautiful tradition of casting grateful breadcrumbs out into the waters for the blessings of a new year. And I just want to say thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you all for these continual blessings. And amen.
Oh, amen. And so much love to you, Mary. We just love you dearly.
Me too, you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. Gosh, you know, you just remind you when you feel the blessings and you acknowledge them, seems like they expand, you know? There's abundance everywhere. So
yeah.
Thank you for sharing them. Okay, we have a few more of our family here together. We have, I'm not sure
Christine.
Who this is.
It's
hi,
Christine.
Christine.
Can you hear me? Hi. I know my caller ID doesn't say my name on it.
That's okay. Hi, Christine.
Hi. It's been a while, and I just always like to begin with being so grateful for Glenda and Nancy for hosting these calls and all the good that you do for everybody around the world. It's funny that the latest two callers had a kind of preceded me in what I was going to ask for, which is to help, if Joshua could please help me shift more towards the gratitude, because I've been scratching the surface of processing a lot of trauma in my body, and it's a very vague kind of concept for me at this moment. But I just would love guidance in focusing on the gratitude, because my tendency is to focus on what I'm lacking. It's just how my brain is working at this time when I know better. So I just need a little nudge. I know he's there
okay.
And everyone's there. And then help with the processing, understanding how to process the trauma, especially I constantly have a tightness around my heart and my throat, and I would just love. I just had my heart checked because of it. Lost my dad to heart disease and a heart attack, so my heart checked out all right.
Great.
Still have it, and help with that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're going to be so blessed. You will be. Just know that you are, and it will come.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Christine, we're holding you up. We're holding you up.
I feel like my heart.
Thank you for calling today. Oh.
Just
gratitude is powerful.
You know, one of the things that we can enjoy, all of us, regardless of whether we're in a situation of plentifulness or a little bit of scarcity, gratitude or a little bit of concern, whatever it is, at this time of the equinox, we can find it easier to be content. Just content. And I know it's really hard to feel content when there's so much more that might be needed, so much more that might need to be done, so many projects that are incomplete, so many answers that have not been provided. But every day is actually sufficient unto itself. Unto itself. All of these concerns you have are about something of the past that's not resolved, something in the future that has not been revealed. But today and every day is sufficient unto itself. Say that to yourself. And I would suggest that you actually say that as you go to sleep, as you express gratitude for this day, and acknowledge that this day was sufficient unto itself. Because you will train your subconscious mind to hold that for you. And this is a great time of the cosmic year to imprint ideas like that into your subconscious mind. Something that is rarely spoken about, but Yeshua did allude to it in many ways, in many places. And that is that our subconscious mind is the part of us that is most truly connected to the cosmic mind and the quantum space, the place where energy belongs unto itself and to all it is. It's not divided or differentiated. All potential is available in quantum space. All potential from everywhere, every dimension, all time, all space. And our subconscious mind is the part of us that is always in quantum space. So when we imprint something into our subconscious mind, we are actually reinforcing that connection in the most positive ways that we can. You know, you could even say little things like all is love, or I am love, or thank you God. Whatever that you want to say for, but keep your words short, because your subconscious mind does not accept complicated thoughts. It just doesn't. It accepts brief, imprinted thoughts. It's a deep thank you for this day. That's good. All is well. Let there be grace. Let there be wholeness in my life. It's a great one to say right on the edge of sleep, because and saying these things over and over again actually does train your subconscious mind to go there in your sleep state, which is also connected to quantum space. Now, what's so special about quantum space? Well, it's in all time and all space, with all potential, connected to God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, the angels, your past, your future, your potential, your destiny, everything that is in relation to you is there. It's there. And so to go into that space is a sacred moment. And I really believe this is why so many times we fall into a state of insomnia, because we're on the threshold of this sacred space and we don't feel ready to go there. We still want to think about problems of the world. We're still agitated from the day. We're still not at ease, let's say, with ourselves. And I have found that in saying these little imprinted thoughts of a positive quality right there on the edge, I'll just cross right over and I'm gone. I'm there. So I pass that on to you for what it's worth.
Yes, thank you. That's wonderful and very digestible advice. Thank you.
Good.
Yes, so good. It makes me, Glenda, thank you for that, especially about keeping things brief. And it makes me think about that whole Ho'oponopono prayer, which is so brief.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. You know, it's just so good.
Uh-huh.
And it brings in
exactly
positivity.
Exactly.
But I think that's why it works.
Yes, I've been studying subtle energy work that's based on that. That's amazing that you brought that up. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, we
that's
love
what,
you. And
okay, that's what can happen in quantum space, my dear, you know. And sometimes I will have a presentation that I am ready to make for the blessing call. And instead, I always go into prayer before I get on it. And I'll drop into quantum space. And then I'll just come out and say, fiddlesticks. I'm just going to be in quantum space and connect with everybody. And it's always just phenomenal how well the connection works.
Amen. And we appreciate it.
Yes. Great.
Well, thank you.
Okay. We better close.
Thank you, Christine.
And we've got two more people on the queue.
We have one more. Dennis. It's Dennis.
Okay.
Hi, Dennis.
It's actually Elizabeth. It shows up as Dennis.
Oh. Hi, Elizabeth.
Yes, it's under Genesis right now. But it's Elizabeth. And looking at, I was guided to open up Keys of Yeshua, and it's under prayer and meditation. And I have the painting bookmark in front of me of the lamb and the lion. And it's a two-part question. Well, it's not a two-part question, but in relation to that painting, and we're speaking about the quantum level, and my blessing will be to ask for allowing a greater understanding, application, and experience in my overall raising consciousness and healing, you know, could be any seeing area, whether it's personal or in the collective. Because I feel that there's this real calling about that painting experience where it was ripped by the big lamp had fallen on mm-hmm. it, the tear. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yeah.
Overnight, trusting you, I knew, in a sense, I could trust your word because I wasn't there, that it had been zipped up, locked up, no one else touched it. And you were frantic about what were you going to do, even though to you it was minuscule, it still presented, how do you deal with this? Mm-hmm. And the next morning when it was opened, it was perfectly fine, untouched by human hands or
That's
human
right.
methods, that even though you brought it in through a seemingly non-regular process, you still use
mm-hmm.
brushes and paints of this world, but that's not what took care of that. And in all of my asking for the, you know, where, you know, was that Yeshua that did that? Was it calling for it to see that? So there's just something in me that's really reaching in the greater application of understanding what that must have been, another significant part of the whole experience. Because it wasn't, you know, it was everything that happened, but there was, just like, if I recall, when you were looking at the hologram to do the painting, you noticed a split in the tree,
mm-hmm.
in the background, I think
mm-hmm.
it's an oak tree, and questioned, did he mean that to be there? He said, yes, it has to be there. It's meant to be there. So I feel that, to me, it's speaking about, let's say, split in consciousness, let's say a lower understanding now ready for a higher understanding coming out of these clouds of illusion and confusion of what our reality is.
Mm-hmm.
So in the light of that, if you have any maybe quick insights you might want to offer, or you know, at least incorporate that in the blessing, at least I know I would love that, what's ready. And in the meditation prayer it said, the profound gifts of the Holy Spirit, awareness, compassion, and direct experience are always available to us, whatever our language, our beliefs, or our understanding. The counsel of spirit transcends our limitations and reveals that which we could not otherwise comprehend. And also, right before that, there was one more sentence that just came to me that says, as you gain inner strength, you begin to sense your connection with God and the Holy Spirit within the invisible world. You'll learn that a prayerful presence alters everything. And you begin to accept that your blessings do not come from what you can control, but from what is controlled on your behalf by the greater powers of love. So
absolutely.
in the context of that, that's the best way I can express
mm-hmm.
what I would love to find more room within me. It feels like there's some doors that just are very resistant. And also if there's any maybe insights into your understanding of how that happened, not exactly how it happened, but it was not like, if I recall, I think one of the priests at the time said he was holding a vision that it would be fine. So I'm kind of going, well, was it his holding it, or is it Yeshua was intending it to be that way? So if you have an insight, but otherwise I would love that to incorporate in my healing of what I need in my consciousness and raising. Thank you.
Well, I pray that the insight comes to you. I can give you a little bit of supportive reality, but somehow this is something you need to feel within yourself. And you know, essentially, that there are two worlds. That's what the tree of life is actually twofold. It is the tree of immortal life, which has always been and always will be, and the tree of temporal life, which has its cycles and its phases, and it does continue as well because it's life. Life never ends. The manifestations of life go through their cycles. The cycles then have similarity and difference between the cycles. But life never ends. The forms in the material universe accommodate these cycles of life. And then there is the eternal world, which is formed from the essence of quantum space and held eternally in motion and living presence by God. And when God retired, he didn't retire like some people do. Okay, well, I just turned 70. I don't want to do this work anymore. I'd rather spend time on the golf course or sit on my porch. Are you the grandkids? That's what we call retirement. God didn't retire in that sense. He went from the material universe into the quantum universe, from which all things are eternally managed. He's in a place where all things can be managed in the same time, in the same space, which is why he can be fully with you, fully with me. He can understand our past. He knows our future. And as to what healed the painting, I have no idea what the mechanics of that healing were, but I do know the inevitability of the healing, which is what Father Herman saw, and that is that painting's destiny was not complete. It's just like when Yeshua died on the cross, his destiny was not complete. So the body had to go through a cycle of ending in this earthly plane in order to be born into the eternal plane. But death, no. No death. Just an end of cycle in the material universe in order to be transposed into a presence that is eternal and capable of being in all times and all spaces with all people under all conditions. And his destiny was established. It was clarified. You know, prior to the crucifixion and the resurrection, the apostles could only speculate through faith. Well, yeah, we see from all of these miracles and the wisdom, he probably is the Son of God. Yeah, he probably is. We have faith in that. But seeing that his tenure of power in the eternity of creation could not be terminated, well, that was more than convincing evidence. The same was true with that painting. It was created of his presence. It wasn't a painting about him. It was a painting of him. And there's a difference. It couldn't be destroyed. And in the scripture, it said, they will destroy the temple and 3 days later, I will build it back. Well, that's about what happened with the painting. I didn't touch it. Not because Well, actually, I was very anxious about it. I was very worried. I didn't know how to interpret it. I prayed. I was up all night praying. And it wasn't my prayers that did it. I had nothing to do with that. Nothing. In fact, I was more worried than anything else. And what would I tell everybody who had built their faith on this being an indestructible portrait of him? Well, for those who do, you know, I've been thinking I need to create a page dedicated to this on our website. And I believe there was a page on Love Without End, our old website, because there were pictures of the damage and testimonies and witnesses to the damage. And then it was put in its case. And then when we brought it out, there are pictures of Father Herman and two of the board members of the church and me and a few others that were there witnessing and looking at the backside of the painting going, oh my God, blessing be, it's whole. And it wasn't patched. It wasn't rewoven. It was never injured, which is that's the most incredible thing about it, because it was never injured. The injury was the illusion. That was the illusion. And it wasn't real. And I think this is the way so often miracles happen. And this goes along also with what Albert Einstein said once. I'll get to Albert in just a moment. But the way miracles work is that we're looking, when we see an injury, we see an illness. What we're really looking at is an illusion that has come about to test our faith, that has come about to give us a choice point in life. You can choose to make me real, or you can choose to dismiss me. And I'm not saying this is always the case, but in many cases, and I know certainly with me, I have fully come to comprehend the fact that the pain in my back that almost threw me out of active life was a choice point. And I chose a different path. And once my choice was confirmed that I chose a different path, my back was healed completely. I could then, within hours, I could go from not being able to stand to be able to bend over, pick up a book, and jump and dance. I mean, literally, it was that pronounced the difference. And Albert Einstein, I wish I could quote him verbatim, and that's why I delayed thinking I would recall his quote exactly, but it was to the point that we have been looking at an illusion, and the illusion is lifted so that reality presents itself to us. And the miracle, mm-hmm. what we call a miracle, is a reality that was always there, yet to be revealed. And this is from the mouth of one of the greatest scientists of all time. So we are living in a universe that is composed of reality and illusion, one layered upon the other. Reality is one with God. But we are given illusions because we're still children. And children do actually need fairy tales and Disneyland and coyotes that get run over by trucks and then bounce back like they were made of plastic. Children need that to create their hope and their faith that they can be in charge of their life and have choice points about their life. But these illusions are just sandcastles that we work with for a while. And then eventually the tide will come in and it will wash away the sandcastles. And we have another choice point. We can say, oh my God, why did you take away my life? Or we can say, oh, thank you, God, for revealing what was truly real. So we have choice points all through our experience of life. And our quality of life very much depends upon our choice points. So let's end on that.
Perfect.
And now you have a new choice point coming up, and that is, how deeply will I receive the blessings that are being given to me? So let us get ready for the blessing. Let's get ready to receive. And blessing givers, stand, and you get ready as well. All of us, let's either stand or extend your legs and your arms. Let's loosen up. We've got here for now quite a while. There were so many good messages and questions that it was a great opportunity to present important explanations and guidance for us living a better life. So, but let's stretch now. Just stretch your shoulders. That neck. You got to pop that neck. I just did. Oh, my goodness. And lift your, bend your spine left to right, front to back, so that you can flow energy in your body. We're not going to ask you to go to a gymnasium and work out. Just a gentle, tender, compassionate movement of your body. And now take a very deep breath, expanding your diaphragm, your lungs. Hold it for a few seconds, and now release it. And as you release it, let your shoulders fall in just a relaxed little lump on top of your spine. Okay, and then bend and twist a little bit more. Take another deep, deep breath. Expand and move your shoulders up as far as they can go. And now release, okay? We're not going to take time to contemplate the four square breath, but those of you who know it, now practice it. But for all of you, it's just being mindful of your breath. Observe your breath exhaling and giving life. Pausing for a moment. And then inhaling a new breath. Now, these are just comfortable, normal breaths I'm talking about. But being mindful of your breath helps to open your body. It helps to penetrate your physical and emotional defenses to receiving help and blessing, so that you can receive and give blessings a little better. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. And blessing givers, stand and be ready for us to offer the blessing together. Dear Yeshua, thank you so much for speaking through me today. I felt your presence, and I felt how much you wanted to say that which was said, because you love this community and this congregation so very, very much. You wanted to touch their hearts with exactly what they needed to infill their life today with your precious blessing. And thank you for all that you give to us, for your guidance, your love, your compassion, and your patience with us, that we try endlessly to understand, and then we keep coming back to our defenses, and we keep saying, oh, but I'm not sure of myself. Give us the courage to be sure. Give us the courage to praise God for all we have, and then to receive with an open heart all that he wants to give us. We ask all of these things in your name, as we also ask that you be with all the suffering in the world, all of those who are crying for help, all of those who need lifting to a higher plane, that they may be reunited with their Creator, whether on this earth or in heavenly planes. We ask for a blanket of love to be wrapped around our beautiful planet, that we may have peace and balance, hope, and restored security in our life. Amen. Amen and amen. Everyone, continue our prayer. And blessing givers, let us begin.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's for you to finish receiving. So just lie down, get on your bed, or stretch out on your sofa, or the floor, or the grass, wherever works for you, and receive. And it's okay if you fall asleep. In fact, it might be very good if you fell asleep. Just be. The one thing you don't do is think. Don't even continue your prayer, because it will use words, and words will be in your mind. Just be. Just be. Be blessed. I wish you a wonderful week and look forward to being with you again next week. Bye bye for now.